And welcome to episode 124 of the Talking Hockey Podcast. Eric surprised us today. He initially said he wasn't going to make it. I was really disappointed in that because he was supposed to go to Harry Potter. And then he realized Harry Potter is on
Thursday.
No. And today is...
Tuesday, supposedly.
I can't believe you're supporting J.K. Rowling like that.
Some say it's Tuesday. I would argue it feels like a Thursday. But, yeah. I am supporting not J.K. Rowling. I'm supporting my deep inner child love for Harry Potter. And also, I heard the show is like today.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite. Producer Luke here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple, visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin.
I heard it's like action. It's like basically a magic show, except a play at the same time, sort of.
That's gonna be really fascinated by Hamilton because it's rap. It's basically like
a play, but it's
a rap,
rap
concert. But
I've watched Hamilton. What do you mean? I'm cultured. Oh, did you?
I'm going to Mean Girls on Saturday.
Mean Girls. Is that a play?
Yeah.
Ty has like three really close girlfriends at work, and they've like taken over his personality.
Are they the ones that he hooked up with, or are they the ones?
Oh my god!
Just curious.
He hasn't hooked up with any of his coworkers.
Oh, I thought he did. I thought that's why they.
Oh no!
Him.
Oh Eric, no. Let's. We gotta delete this one.
I'm PR control here. Okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Ty has not hooked up with any.
Yeah, he has.
Member
he hasn't,
of his coworkers.
Ty hasn't hooked up with
anyone in the last
ever.
Week.
Yeah. Luke,
Ty's
Luke
never
is,
hooked up with anyone
last
ever.
Week.
Luke is my Luke is my employer PR firm right now.
Yeah, I've got to make sure that his image stays intact. That Ty is a virgin. You know.
Also, I got the cursed child tickets for free too, so that's even better.
We just had to go back to talking about you that quickly.
Yeah, exactly. I'm tired talking about Ty. Yeah, that's too much.
For free? Much, how do you get them for free? Shouldn't they be like?
I have a hookup. I have a hookup, man. I have a hookup.
A hookup in the theater industry
in the
Toronto.
Theater
Ed Marbish?
Yeah, exactly. The one time that's ever useful.
I mean, Toronto has some good plays. I went to like a Lord of the Rings play in Toronto. It was unreal.
I saw Hamilton in Toronto. I saw The Lion King in Toronto. Lion King was
I saw
cool
Les
too.
Mis in Toronto, and I saw Joseph in the multicolored dream coat, or the technical multi, whatever it's called.
Yeah,
technicolored.
How Christian
dream,
of you.
Dream coat. I know, right? It's actually my favorite thing ever. I love that play, man. I don't care what people say. But anyways, let's talk hockey.
Luke, because... do you prefer the Lion King, the original, or with Donald Glover?
Definitely the original.
Who likes the new one?
The
Nobody
lion,
likes the new
the girl
one.
Lion in the original? I'd risk it all, brother.
the
is
girl
that bestiality?
Lion or,
yeah. Is that bestiality if it's cartoon?
No, it's hentai. Hentai. You can tell I watch it because I.
Yeah, that was way too quick of an answer.
He was overcompensating and he mispronounced it. And he's like, wait, look, guys, I don't watch it.
He knows exactly what it is.
Yeah, anyways, Vancouver, right? Canucks.
Yeah, so topics for today, I feel like we're just talking Canucks because that's really the story that everyone seems to be talking about. Nobody cares about anything else. Happening with any other team in the league right now, it seems. It's just Canucks, right? They're 0-5-2, as we pointed out. They haven't won a single game yet.
And blown, they've started their first game,
their first three games,
they blew multiple leads.
First four games.
First team in history to do so, apparently, which is pretty incredible. This was a year where the Canucks were hoping to make the playoffs.
They were supposed to be, I mean, I think if we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, we saw them as like a potential, you know, Pacific
bubble
division
team.
Bubble team.
Yeah.
But luckily the Pacific is very weak. Like Seattle's on pace for third in the Pacific, and they're on pace for like 75 points.
They're not third right now.
Well, they're on pace to be.
Yeah.
It's like six games.
It's a bad, I know, but it's a bad division at the end of the day.
They could turn it around. Golden Knights are killing it right now. Yeah.
Golden Knights are doing well.
5-2.
But
which was also foreseeable.
Yeah,
that was pretty predictable. Yeah,
they have a good team, and they got probably one of the best five coaches in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Eichel healthy again. Yeah, anyways, back away from Golden Knights. Canucks.
The Fire.
Does anyone want to pull up the quotes from the team? Because I think pulling up the quotes from JT Miller and Bo Horvat would be like great. I don't know if producer Luke wants to do that or I have to scroll.
That's a Twitter Luke's job.
I can pull them up.
Yeah, so, because basically the summation of what they were saying, you know, Vancouver players again threw one of his jerseys or threw jerseys onto the ice after whichever game. One of their many, many losses. And their quote, I think Bo Horvat and JT Miller took it in very different ways, is what I could get a sense of and what Miller fans said, were talking about.
Miller said if they want to throw their shit on the ice, that's up to them.
Yeah, it's like, he's like, that's their prerogative, like, go for it. Whereas I think Bo Horvat was like, yeah, we're not doing a good job, and I think, like, we would like to do better, and, you know, we deserve it, and all this other stuff, like, being kind of a, you know, the captain that he is, so to speak. And then JT Miller is like, yeah, well, fuck those guys for doing that in the first place. If they want to win $200 on a jersey and throw it away, go for it, sort of deal.
I've heard Miller's getting shit on by fans in public.
Yeah.
He seems like that type of guy.
I'm reading on Reddit right now that story in the pumpkin patch isn't true.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know if that is true or not, right? A lot of them try to protect it. There's also the clip that Ty sent of Luke Shen and JT Miller going at it, which seemed like nothing.
On the ice, though. I mean, you don't see that, though. Like,
but it was
JT Miller just seems like JT Miller just seems like a dumbass.
And apparently, JT Miller was asked about it, and he said, no offense, but it's none of your business.
He was, yeah. That's.
I mean, I don't think it was that big of a thing. I think a lot of people were making it a pretty big thing. I think that happens on every team every year.
It happens on the bench all the time. Yeah. There's no difference on the bench than skating off after an intermission.
They just heard it on the mics, and the broadcast picked it up, and that's that. That's the only reason. Like, I don't have a problem with that. I think the bigger issue is that it seems like all the top Canucks players aren't playing well. JT Miller isn't taking it well. He obviously had a career year last year. I think last year was the top best year in terms of point production, if I'm not mistaken.
And I think he started, but then they signed him. Everyone was talking, like, should they trade him? They should have traded him, sold high, and traded him.
8 years left with him, right? Yeah.
And now he's looking like a terrible signing. But like at the same time,
it's still seven games.
He started out so badly that I think he was on the ice for the first 10 goals against that Vancouver gave up. And when you watch Vancouver,
he
doesn't even care defensively. Like, okay, I've seen one Vancouver game in person. It was a preseason game last year against Edmonton. And even then, I was watching JT Miller. The guy just didn't care.
I mean, but maybe he's like, our defense sucks so hard. What the hell am I going to do?
He seems like a guy who just like checks out and just doesn't care.
He's never been a good defensive player. Like, he does good things defensively sometimes. Like, he has good defensive skill sets, but he's never been the one interested in actually playing defense. Like, that's never been his strength. His strength has always been playmaking. What the hell? Martin.
Who dropped something?
Sorry.
Martin just doesn't even react to it. He's like, oh, it's not me. what was I saying? Yeah, he's never been a defensive, like, elite defensive player. I think he got a reputation as one in Vancouver because he was good at winning face-offs and all that other crap that doesn't really matter.
And he hits
and he does, you know, all the things that some fans care about that they care, like, that indicates he's good defensively without doing it. But like Ty said, he isn't super active on the back check. He isn't, you know, he isn't 100% effort all the time on the defensive end. Ty picked that up. Ty's stuffing his face right now like I am, but yeah.
Yeah, but there's lots of...
JT Miller's not going to make a huge difference on your defense if your defense sucks. Like, most of those guys...
Yeah, I mean, if you have a look at the defense of Tyler Myers, Ekman Larson, frickin', I don't even know who else is on that.
Exactly. And Quinn Hughes.
Luke Shen.
Quinn Hughes is out for weeks.
Oh, my God.
Quinn Hughes is out for weeks, apparently. Just read.
You know, just, I don't mean to get doxed here, but it's a team that one of our friends of the show made and then dipped.
I don't know the story.
She was there a year.
I don't even think she was there a year.
She was there like nine months.
10 months. Okay. Yeah.
Under Bruce Boudreau last year, the Canucks were on like a 100-point pace. They just fired Travis Green too late. They probably would have made the playoffs if they fired him a month earlier. What changed?
What changed is Tyler Myers is a year older. Ekman Larson's a year older. Luke Shen's a year older. No Quinn Hughes and JT Miller regressing a little bit. And then you get an 0-5-2 team. Like, and then on top of that, you know, certain players, they're just not stepping up. The team just doesn't look like they have it together. Maybe just a little bit of a bad run going. You know, if this is the middle of the season and they were 10-5-2 and then they went 0-5-2 or something like that, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. But because it's happening so early in the season, it's a bigger deal than.
Do you want me to read the quotes that you told me to pull up? Or
yes, please.
Okay, so there was one from October 21st where JT Miller is quoted saying, "I'm trying to be patient, but I'm not going to change the way I'm playing away from the puck and in my own end because I don't think I've given up much of anything there." So he thinks he's had a good defensive year. And then there are two quotes from the October 23rd or 24th game. I forget which day it was because I think the jerseys were thrown on the ice. Bo Horvat said, "We haven't really given them much to cheer about. When you see it happening this year, it definitely sucks. I understand their frustration." And he went on to say a little bit more, I think, about how it was also his jersey that was thrown on the ice last year. And it, like, he remembers it every single time he goes out to play. And then JT Miller said, "If they want to throw their shit on the ice, it's up to them." And people are saying that there's, like, two very different leadership styles, and they seem to be thinking
it's very evident, right? Like, yeah, it's a very different response.
But I mean, like,
it's not a bad response though. Like, no, it's not a bad response. I would respond that way. I'm not a captain.
I think sometimes things like that are also just read the wrong way.
He also might have, like, it might have been like right after it happened, you know, you're a bit emotional and you just say the first thing that comes to mind. You know, it's not like, I think people looked into it too much, for sure.
I think saying if they want to throw their shit on the ice, it's up to them is fine. These guys don't build the team. Like, it's not his fault.
It's partly his fault, but it's not his fault they suck.
I have no reaction to a quote like that. If that happened at one of my players, I think Marner's quotes have been much worse about being a little bitch boy.
Marner's crying.
We'll talk about the Marner Fortnite stuff right after, because I think that'll be Ty will have fun with that.
But I'm gonna keep that conversation between him and I, but we didn't like it. That's not keeping the conversation between you and him then, there, Marner.
That was good. No, it was a
That's a conversation for later. Don't do it, Ty.
I also think that there's a lot of talk. I don't know if Ty, or not Ty, Luke, you want to pull up the quotes from Vancouver's, like, management, because they were talking about how I want to say it was their president or GM. I think it was Rutherford. I want to say it was Rutherford who came out and said, like, "Hey, it's still a rebuilding season for us," or something along those lines. Like, he said something about how the Canucks need to rebuild. And it's like, what have they been doing for the past decade if it wasn't rebuilding?
And it's so funny looking back at the quotes from Jim Benning being like 2014 when he took over, saying this is a team that's, you know, 2 years away from contending again. It's a 2-year rebuild, and now we're in year what, 8, and to start over again.
Yeah, 8 years now, basically.
Do they have to start over? Or... trade they a couple have guys.
They have some pieces there. You have a goalie, Thatcher Demko, goalie who's probably going to be top five in the league, all said and done. Probably at the end of the year, he'll figure it out, right? I think there's no problem.
He'll end up top 10, top 15, probably. Vancouver is a complete shit show.
You have, so that's one big piece that you have locked up, and you have it locked up long term. Mm-hmm. The next piece you have is Quinn Hughes, and defensively, probably leaves much to be desired. He probably should have been a forward growing up, but you know, what can you do now, right? But he's a player you can build your defense around as long as you have players who will complement him, you know, play better defensively. Imagine Quinn Hughes with Chris Tanev right now. And you have Pettersson, who has shown a couple years ago at least that he could be a top centerman in the league. And you have a draft this year that's going to be very good.
Yeah.
Hence why they should have traded JT Miller for a 2023 first round pick from a team like, I don't know, a team that would have given it to them. That's, you know, Washington.
You could have suckered some. You could have team suckered that's someone. Probably going to miss Islanders, the playoffs into giving you a first rounder. Philly, like, you know, there was some team out there you probably could have suckered into giving you a first. I think
who could potentially have missed the playoffs, and then, you know, you get another potential lottery pick or top pick in this draft, and even if it was 15th overall, you know what? That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And now they're stuck with a guy who's 30 years old for another 8 years. I don't know how old he is. I think he's 28, 29.
Yeah, and they brought in a bunch of...
And they brought in Ilya Mikheyev. Ilya Mikheyev is playing first-line left wing for them now.
And I mean, if you're paying your first-line winger $4.4 million or whatever, maybe that's good value. I don't know.
But
I don't know. If we break it down that way...
He's not playing because
first-line. Trust me, I'm a big Ilya Mikheyev fan. I have a Ilya Mikheyev Leafs jersey. And I bought it like in 2019 when he first joined the team because I saw like two games and I was like, I love this guy. But
$4.75 million.
That's insanity. Firstly, I think we commented on it. That's insanity. A guy who's fast.
Look, if you look at their team, like it looks similar to like what you would think a last place team or a bottom 10 team would look like. Like, you could see the potential of them being a playoff bubble team, and I think we all agree, if they didn't have Bruce Boudreau as a coach, none of us would have had them even close to the playoffs.
Yeah,
I think we just looked at Bruce Boudreau and went, like, Barry Trotz, Bruce Boudreau, these guys get their teams to the playoffs, and or get them as close as possible and make them perform better. But, you know, if the coach isn't pulling magic out of his ass, like, what is he going to do with...
Well...
What is he going to do with his top six defensemen being freaking Ekman Larson, Tyler Myers, Luke Shen? Jack Rathbone has some potential, but, like, you know, he's a bottom-pairing defenseman right now. And then you have, like, a bunch of guys, like, Noah Juulsen, Riley Stillman. Like, none of those guys are NHL players.
But, I mean, also, Boudreau hates Hoglander.
Yeah, and he hates Hoglander too, and Hoglander's a very good player, and suddenly he was sent to the AHL, but I think they have too many injuries now, so they had to bring him back up. Something along those lines, I'm pretty sure. They sent him down to the minors. Yep, they sent him down to the minors, and then a day later brought him up. I don't know if that's cap reasons or it's...
But he still missed a game as a result of that, even though you can say it was cap. But, I mean, he's been healthy scratched multiple times by Boudreau. So, I mean, say what you want about him. There's some... He's a great coach.
But again, like, there are six defensemen. Like, none of their defensemen that are playing right now would be in the Leafs' top five. Arguably even top six.
Yeah, I mean...
Is that a fair argument to say? Looking at all their defensemen. Would any of those make the starting six?
In 2022, like Leafs, I don't think Luke Shen should be in your top four.
I don't think Luke Shen should almost... You know, maybe he's on the bottom pairing playing 15 minutes, 14 minutes
penalty killer,
beside a really good defenseman who can help carry him. But, like, I can blame Boudreau somewhat, but, man, like, you have six guys that wouldn't make, like, a bunch of teams top
six. For some reason, the NHL loves Tyler Myers.
Well, so, it's easy to know why.
Because he's huge.
He's 6'6".
Yeah, he's 6'6", 6'9".
6'8".
Jesus Christ, yeah. He's fucking huge. Yeah, so I get why they like him, but, like, you know. And then they're paying Ekman Larson $7.2 million for 5 more years.
Yeah. 4 more years after this. That was a bad bring in.
Yeah, but, like, and that's a Benning, right? That's not even current management, so it's hard to, like, blame them. You can't blame, like, what's the GM's name? Patrick?
Alvin.
Alvin, yeah. However you pronounce his name. You can't blame him. But also, he probably, you know, needed... You know, you lose Quinn Hughes, you lose your top guys, you know, there's not much you can do about it.
But the rest of the team is bad. It's always like been that way for Vancouver, though. Like, they just had...
Yeah, they refuse to just admit they're bad and bottom out. Like, that's been part of the issue.
And they bring in Mikheyev this year and Syme Meyer...
Miller.
JT Miller again.
Well, the Kuzmenko was supposed to be good. I don't know if he... I think he's had an okay start, but, like...
It hasn't been great.
It just doesn't... Yeah, the team never made sense because they... They just... There's no way they're even close to being a contender. And they had that playoff shortened, or the COVID shortened year. Actually, no, it was the bubble, right? The bubble, mm-hmm. they took Vegas to Game 7, right? Almost made it to the conference finals because that was Demko standing on his head. That was Demko's breakout.
That was Demko, like, one of the best goalie performances I've ever seen from a goalie.
Yeah.
Maybe with Ottinger against...
Calgary last year?
Yeah.
Calgary. Yeah, that was insane. Yeah,
like, those are some of the best goalie performances I've seen.
Heroic, like, nearly knocking a contender out.
Yeah. Yes. So, like, and that was the worst thing to possibly happen for Vancouver. Because suddenly they thought they were good. Suddenly they thought they were making the right move. Suddenly they thought they were making progress. And it was very clear to anyone with a brain, not brainwashed. You know, if you're a fan, I get it. Because, you know, you're just brainwashed by the success. You want to support it. But anyone that's trying to be, like, logical about the game, like, they should have seen that coming. And we all said it was coming, too. It wasn't like you need to be a fucking genius. If Ty can figure it out, then anyone can.
Let me run the team. I know exactly. And they, like,
I just had to shit on Ty a little bit with that.
Or, you know? Did Luke disappear? Or is he?
I don't know. I mean, his camera's off. I don't know if he's
camera. It's a camera off meeting, I guess.
Yeah.
But, like, just see what do you do at this point? I mean, do you fire Boudreaux as a what's the word I'm looking for? Like a reactionary decision, just try to right the ship as early as you can. Because how many times can you say it's up to the players in the room, look in the mirror?
Yeah, I mean, Vancouver, you can still trade JT Miller.
I don't think you can.
Can you not?
It's looking at, I mean, who wants to take on a 7-year deal at this point?
There's, I mean, some other team would have given him that amount.
Eight
games ago, someone would have given him that contract.
Yes.
Yeah, they would have.
I don't think, seven games changes that.
Would they trade an asset?
Doesn't matter. Maybe you don't need to get an asset anymore. Maybe you just need to dump it. You know? Dump him.
You need an asset. You need something.
That's just cutting costs.
If you're going to rebuild and you want to, in a flat cap world, I mean, maybe the cap rises a couple.
Miller's still worth something. Like, he still has, what, 5 points in 7 games. Like,
it's a huge mistake.
4 goals.
Signing him was just a huge mistake. And at this point,
Vermaard makes also a good point. He still has this is my point. He still has value.
Yeah.
Whether he has enough value to get a worthwhile asset, you know, a first rounder, anything like that, that's definitely up for debate because teams don't like giving away first rounders for 30-year-old guys signed to gigantic deals long term. But Martin just said it, 4 goals in 7 games isn't, you know. He scored, you know, he did let in 10 goals against while he was on the ice. That's part of it. You know, that's a bigger issue, but he still scored 4 goals, and a lot of teams will look at that and go, it's 4 goals. But, like, if I'm Vancouver, I gotta just tear this shit down. I still have a couple guys in their early 20s I can build around again. I tank 1 or 2 years, and I'm back at it.
I think they should trade Besser.
Well,
you know, the interesting ones that they could trade is nobody wants to talk about it in Vancouver, but if you're going to rebuild, you've got to trade Bo Horvat, right?
Oh, yeah.
And nobody in Vancouver wants to talk about that. And I get it. You know, if I'm
he's a huge trade piece this year.
Yeah, massive. I mean, he's on a $5.5 million deal.
Last year of it, too.
Center,
yeah.
Defensively responsible, according big to most boy. People. Big boy, captain.
Yeah.
Great in the room, according to every hockey man ever. You know, that's a guy that gets you a first, a second, a third, a first.
Or he gets you value. Yeah.
Gets some value. And then maybe he comes back. I don't know if he loves Vancouver so much. You're giving him a chance to go with the playoff team, and then you bring him back if you want to. But, you know, there's so many things that they can do. I think Jesus Christ, that would bring value to the franchise. I don't know. I don't know if they should fully rebuild, they retool, whatever, but they need to change something. But anyways, we beat this subject to death. I don't know, Ty or Martin, yeah. You have anything left to say about it?
No, I'm good.
They have lots of trade pieces, they need to...
That they're probably not gonna trade. They're gonna
They're not gonna trade Bo Horvat. Like, I don't see that ship. Happening. They the fans. Whether it's a good move for the franchise, fans would lose their shit for sure. For sure, like every fan would just be like livid, unless they somehow like traded Bo Horvat and then somehow got Connor Bedard. Then maybe they're okay with it. But that's still like, you know, once they trade him, that's like 6 months of fans hating you before you even potentially would, you know, move past that. Basically, they're not going to do it. GM doesn't have the balls to do it. That's my opinion. No offense to him.
Owner doesn't have GM. The balls to do
owner
it.
Doesn't definitely doesn't have the balls to do it. I mean, if they get a top three pick, you know, you get Fantilli, you get Mishkov, or you get Bedard, like that's fucking
yeah,
that's your franchise right there.
Yeah,
so
it's time to it's not even rebuild. It's a quick turnaround.
Quick
rebuild.
Retool. Yeah. Ty, you want to do? You want to start your Leafs rant?
Yeah.
Your Marner rant.
Leafs suck. Martin's gonna love this. This conversation. It's time to start a dialogue. Who would have thought that the Leafs, after what, 2 or 3 weeks of the season, would look like a team that is underwhelming offensively, being carried by a goaltender. did anybody have that on their bingo card?
No, nobody had that on their Leafs bingo card.
Is it good for the Leafs that Murray got hurt so fast?
No, I think one of them was going to do this anyway. I think this was pretty well predicted that one of those guys.
But is it better that they're not?
Samsonov isn't an injury. Isn't a Band-Aid boy, though. Right?
Yeah, isn't it better that they determined so quick that it was Samsonov? Because, like, it feels like even when Murray comes back, like, it's...
I think that's fine. I think that's fine with any tandem goaltending.
But I'm just saying it's good it happened so fast for them.
It's good, and I'm glad that he's looking well because he seems like a great guy, too. And Nick can harp all he wants on...
He was well liked.
No, Ovi
as a prospect. He was well liked.
Washington.
As a prospect. Yeah.
He does give up some bad goals, and I think we've seen that. But he can rebound pretty well, and it's not a back breaker, right? Like there was the first game he played against Washington, he let in like a terrible goal, and then shut the door the rest of the way.
So the question is for the Leafs, and then we'll get to the whole Marner being a baby situation, if you want to rant on that. Their
bottom six is awful.
Yeah, their bottom six
has been awful.
Like
Kerfoot's been good.
Kerfoot's
Nylander
the only thing
and
I could say
Nylander and Tavares have been really good.
Yeah, Tavares has been killing it.
The first line has been awful. I'm not even going to lie.
And that's just because Matthews can't really buy a goal.
He started off, I mean, consider last year, he had a broken wrist, or not broken wrist, just coming from a wrist surgery, so he missed the first couple of weeks, but still, you know, he didn't score a lot to begin with last year. So,
We shouldn't be worried about Matthews, Marner, Bunting getting
it
together. Because
that'll fix itself.
That's That'll fix itself. The bottom six might not fix itself.
And I even said it a lot of times, like they lost a lot last year. Like, okay, Mikheyev, I don't think there's any way they could have paid him, but that's 20 goals on your third line that you need to replace, and I don't think they did. Their fourth line, who everyone thought was going to be like a defensive,
is getting crushed.
Brilliant, is getting crushed, but also I think it's because I don't know what they were expecting. Like, you have three guys out there, Obe Kubel, Aston Reese, and Kampf, who are on their own very good defensively, but that's it, right? And they do nothing out. You have three of the exact same guys on a line, and I think the reason why the Leafs' fourth line last year was better, third or fourth line was better last year, is because they had guys like Mikheyev who could skate and could, you know, shoot the puck a little. I mean, not Kasha score, but yeah, Kasha was hurt
Kasha
last year.
Kasha and Mikheyev are actually big losses. Like, and I think we all said it because that's 20 goals each.
You know, well, like Kasha was out most of last year anyway, so.
Yeah, but like 20 goal pace for Kasha.
Yeah.
Right?
And Engvall's been brutal. He was injured most of the training camp.
In my opinion, your biggest issue is definitely your defense still.
No, it's not even the defense. It's Morgan Rielly. Morgan Rielly has not been good. He's been on the ice.
And that's worrying.
And that's
worrying.
He's been very bad defensively. You still have solid D in the sense that Brody's good. Sandin's good. Giordano's been great. Liljegren should be back in a couple of weeks. And, I mean, Hall and Muzzin, whatever. They're awful. But, like, it's not like they're a bad defensive team. They make some dumb mistakes. But they limit scoring chances again. Or they've been very good at limiting scoring chances, at least in Keefe's defensive system. I think it'll be fun. Brody was awful yesterday, though. But, I mean, like, He's been very solid.
I'm not
otherwise.
Worried about the defense. I mean, a little bit about Morgan Rielly. I'm not worried about the defense. Liljegren comes back. Sandin, you know, like Sandin's been great. Giordano's been great. TJ Brody's always been good. Maybe we have to worry about Morgan Rielly a bit. The thing is, like, at least the goaltending is performing.
And yeah, that's the opposite of last year, right? The defense was really good. Yeah.
And the goaltending, which means I have more faith in us having good goaltending and then figuring out the third and fourth lines, then I do our fourth line and third line figuring it out and our goaltending just being in shambles.
Yeah. And right? That, like, Matthews will score. Marner will be less annoying. You know, Robertson's been a great story and fit in very well and looked like an NHL player. So the top two lines, I think it's easier to fix your bottom six than it is your top line. Right.
And unfortunately, like, you know, I still think the fourth line, like, I think they can still get it together because it's not like in Pittsburgh, Zach Aston-Reese was working with super talented guys that can skate well, you know?
But it's just that they have three guys who do the exact same thing on that one line.
But your depth scoring also looks worse right now.
And it's bad, yeah.
Because Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, and Bunting aren't per se pulling above their weight class like they're expected to, right?
But they will, like, because
they will. So I think that will change how your bottom six is perceived. Because right now your second line of Tavares and Nylander are pulling their weight by far, and then Matthews and Marner aren't as much. So you're having a problem of
once the first line starts producing that gives the like third and fourth lines a little bit more rein to produce as well.
Yeah, if Matthews is more like he was last year, which was way above a point per game pace, it's
on a goal per game pace, basically
almost a goal per game pace, it looks a lot different right now.
Yeah, I mean, also there's moves to be made. I think they need to bring in scoring on the third line.
I've said this for a long time, though, like since the summer, that they don't have a guy who can finish on their bottom six. There's like no depth scoring.
Is that where Robertson steps up or Malgin?
I don't think Malgin gets another shot because I don't think Malgin can play on the bottom six. I think Malgin's fit is only on that second was only on that second line, and now that Robertson's come back and been looking good, unfortunately, I don't think Dennis Malgin really gets another legitimate shot. Yeah, NHL player for sure, but I think he's like one of those guys who needs to be playing in the top six to be.
I think he can produce on the third line. You give him.
Yeah, I mean, you just need. The fourth line needs fixing, and I don't think it involves playing Wayne Simmons more often and Kyle.
You can't put the fix is not Simmons and Kyle Clifford. God, I can't even. Clifford.
Surprisingly, Simmons was really good on Saturday, but you know, Obey Kubel has not looked good. They're getting shelled, but I mean, I think that the goal of that line was always just to start them in the defensive zone and then.
Yeah,
work their way out, but they just have not been limiting chances against, I don't think, and they're definitely not going to be scoring.
Another very unfortunate thing for Toronto is Pierre Engvall doesn't play like a 6'5", 230 player.
But he's fast. He has a lot of speed.
But he needs to.
Engvall needs to play.
Could you imagine he was fast and that big and played like he was that big? He'd be.
They don't need him to play that big. What they need him to do is score some freaking goals.
But he could do it more if he used his body to body into positions.
But I'd rather him be using his speed, using his skating, playing.
But use his speed with the body. Like, just be like, I'm taking this puck to the fucking net and get out of the way, defense, you're right.
But he can do it without doing that, is what I'm saying. He should be able to put up 20 goals.
Which is why he tries too much. Goals.
Yeah,
he needs to realize if your skill is not going to work, it needs to be blunt force, and you have the size to do that.
He's too lanky. He's like Kai.
Yeah, he's like he's a giraffe.
Push him around.
Yeah.
Well, you should put on some weight.
15-20 pounds. Yeah. Of just anyways, Ty, what do you think about the whole Marner thing?
I don't know. He tries to like. I don't know. He makes big deals out of nothing
because he rubs you the wrong way.
Because that quote that Sheldon Keefe said wasn't even that bad.
Nothing.
It was literally nothing. Like why? Personally, why is the media even making the Toronto media makes a big deal?
That's Toronto.
Read the whole quote. Okay, that's not what he didn't just say our elite players weren't playing like elite players. What he said was the difference between Toronto and Arizona. Is that Toronto has elite players and Arizona doesn't.
It's honestly a compliment.
And tonight they didn't play. And tonight they didn't play like elite players.
No.
Which is true.
Which was 100% true because that game against Arizona, they were awful.
Yes.
Yes, they got jobbed by the refs at the end. But should it have even been that close? Probably not. It should have been
Ottawa beat them 6-2. So.
Teams often show up against the Leafs, I'm not going to lie. Every team.
They do. And there's a reason. Like, you're on the biggest stage and you're like, I don't want to play like I'm on the biggest stage.
Pumping.
Yeah. And I mean, there was definitely a Nick Ritchie goal coming that was crossed off the list pretty early.
That's inevitable. That was on the bingo card.
Yeah.
That was the most obvious one.
Someone should have, we should really start betting on, Nick Ritchie goals.
So keep going.
But anyway, going on Martin. Like, why he was just such a baby about it, and he's always been such a baby about anything. Any criticism of Marner?
Do you think people are making him out to be a bigger baby than like?
No,
he is.
What it really? It was just like I didn't like the comment. But
or
whatever,
is he a bigger baby behind closed doors?
He's a bigger baby for like bringing up the story and saying, "Oh, we had to talk about it." Like, fuck, you're telling me you're starting off very well, Mitch Marner. You're like, so. The problem with Marner is that when he is not on, and I think everyone here and listening to this will agree, is that when he is, the puck isn't following him and he's not like the magician with the puck and his passes aren't going through and he can't handle the puck very well. And, he definitely can't shoot, right? He's not a shooter. He's not a goal scoring threat by any means.
Didn't he score 30 goals last year?
Yeah, he did. But I mean, he's not going to beat a goalie with his shot. But if he's not, he's not that puck handling genius. He's like borderline unplayable, right? The concept of like gravity in sports, right?
Yeah.
Like when he's not producing space, they just go to like they just double team Matthews. Like we saw that against Montreal in that playoff series in 2021, right? Or 2021, where 2021, the COVID year still, but like, you know, against Montreal, like he was awful. Like that was, he was like, you could have healthy scratched him and played, I don't know, Wayne Simmons 25 minutes a night and it would have been better. Right. Cause they just double team Matthews and Marner can't do anything with the puck. And when I sent a screenshot earlier today, we always make fun of, I mean, like you can criticize the guy because he's not been good. And a lot of the team hasn't been, the elite players haven't been good. Right. But so I sent a screenshot, found it on Twitter, but his shots per 60 is down about half it was last year. 4.07 to start the year, 7.34 last year. And it's always been around 7 in his career. And it's at 4 right now. Yeah. Shooting percentage, set 14.9 or 14%, whatever. But his individual expected goals per 60, so that's like, you know, the chances he's generating, is at 0.46, whereas last year and the years before was at like 0.7. I'm bringing up the advanced analytics here. So he's at like half of his career averages. And when he'll generate rebound, right?
Yeah. Like, again, like I don't have a problem with him and Matthews not producing. I mean, it'd be nice if they did, but like, you know, they'll rebound, not worried about it. I agree with you guys. I don't like the comment. Like, take the criticism, move on. It was such a like,
don't be a
baby. But also, was he really given a chance to move on, considering like all the media did for days after Keith made that comment to talk about it? So I forgot about it afterwards.
And again, he had to call out his team after the first game as well. Like, they're just not, like, against teams that they should have beat, like Montreal and Arizona, two teams that are going to be in the bottom of the league this year, and they just didn't perform.
Anyways, correct. I want to move on from the Leafs because I'm over them. The Stars. How are you liking the Stars so far? They're fucking killing it.
Against Ottawa.
Not against Toronto either. But, I mean,
they're two losses, basically. Yeah, okay. Thanks, guys.
Hey, in the game against Ottawa, Ottawa looked real good, or Dallas looked real bad. But
Ottinger's the leading goalie in the league right now in terms of goals saved above expected. Their scorers are doing it, or killing it.
Even Wedgwood in net was really good.
Sorry, who?
Wedgwood, the backup?
Yeah. I mean, they're doing really well, man.
I think we all said
they would make the playoffs, but
Miro Heiskanen is so good.
They're leading the division right now.
They have a lot of offense, and it's young offense. Like, Hintz and Robertson are both stars, and Pavelski's still playing out of his mind.
Robertson's arguably a superstar, right?
Yes. I mean, how old's Pavelski? What, like
38? I'm pretty sure he's 38.
Yeah, he's an old man.
I'll check on that, but he's old.
And he's still playing unreal. And they always said he was the American Crosby, and so it kind of makes sense that he's aging quite well, as Crosby is doing too.
He is. Crosby's been doing well also. Pittsburgh's also killing it right now. But, you know, Pittsburgh's always been a really good regular season team. I think they're tied with Carolina right now, but they're...
And Crosby, and they're scoring a lot. They're scoring a lot.
Dude, the Raquel Gensel Crosby line is sick. Have you guys watched any Pittsburgh games? What?
Yeah, Gensel's been hurt for like two games.
Well, the first couple games, anyways.
Yeah, they came out real hot.
Unreal. And Malkin had some sick goal the other night. He's turning it back.
I saw one of Raquel's goals. It was unreal. I always liked Raquel, but he never did it.
Yeah, he never like took the next step.
Yeah.
Like he was always just on the verge. Like I remember everyone kept drafting him in flashes. Fantasy. Yeah, he'd have flashes, and you're like, okay, this is the breakout. And then he'd finish the year with, like, 40 points again. And you just be like, fucking hell.
Maybe that's Anaheim's fault. He had, like, 1 year.
Yeah, I did blame Anaheim. But, yeah, he did well when he went to Pittsburgh last season, so there is that. But
back to Dallas.
The Flyers are also in third in the Metro right now, 4-2.
Some surprises. I mean, you also want to know someone who's been really good to start the year? Shane Gostisbehere.
Yeah. Who
the Flyers had to literally pay to get rid of.
Dude, guess, without looking, Ty, guess how many points Shane Gostisbehere had last season?
40.
No, not even close.
No, I thought it was like 20-something.
He was at like 50-something points last year, man.
Oh, okay.
Like, he actually, really? Here, let me pull it up just to confirm, but I'm pretty sure he had like 50, yeah, he had 51 points in 82 games last year. He had a good job.
The Flyers said, we don't want to play you.
Yeah, now he has 5 points in 5 games. Even when he played for the Flyers in 2021, in 41 games, he had 20 points. He's always been a 40 to 50 point guy, power play specialist. You know, he was minus 23 last year, but that's on Arizona. It's minus 7 this year, and again, that's because he's on Arizona. But he's always been a decent player. Like, he's just a fine second, third pairing defenseman. Give him some power play time, and he'll put up 40 to 50 points, and that's what he's done. Like, first full year in the NHL, 46 points, 64 games, 39 points in 76 games, so 40 point pace again. He just went off 1 year and had 65 points in 78 games. But other than that, every year he's been a 40 to 50 point pace.
Which defensemen do. Philly. Defensemen randomly do that. They
all have like a random 1 year. And then 2 years after that, he had like 12 points in 42 games. And that's when the Flyers are probably like, you know, we're done with this guy. They traded him.
Well, they also had Provorov at that point, who they wanted to be their power play quarterback.
You know, if you want to talk about the problems with Philly, it's because Provorov, who everyone thought would be a number one defenseman, is barely even a second pairing guy. And barely has been a second pairing guy for like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And they keep throwing him out there in number one minutes, playing 24 or 25 minutes a night half the time. And he's really just a second pairing defense, like a average second pairing defenseman, basically.
My last topic of the day, Eric. Speaking of defensemen with good starts, how do you feel about your boy Rasmus Dahlin?
Oh, yeah. This is definitely me and Martin are going to rub this in your face. Because what is he? How many goals does he have right now? Five? Six?
He had five goals in his first five games.
Five and five.
And he's killing it. I mean, he's still not amazing defensively if you watch him, but the offense, man, the offense, and me and Martin said this, the offense is where the potential is. 8 points in 5 games so far.
Five goals in five games.
And he's plus 8, which is, that's something.
He has 4 more goals than Matthews.
Matthews arguably a better goal scorer than Matthews.
Matthews and Arbor Jacki have the same amount of goals. And Arbor Jacki worked at Costco last year.
But yeah, so Dahlin's killing it. I mean, this is a fuck you, Ty, rubbing it in your face because you...
I want to talk about one more team, and it's Minnesota because Eric said they're a dark horse Stanley Cup. Yeah. And they've been 4-1.
That is an awkward prediction on my part. To be fair, I thought Fleury would be decent to
he's
good.
Just been awful.
And he's been like atrocious, like probably the worst goalie in the league.
The thing is, they're still getting points though.
All their top guys are scoring.
Yeah. They're just getting outscored 5-4.
They've allowed 27 goals. They've allowed the most in the Central so far in 5 games. Compared to some teams at 7 and so on.
I have a feeling they'll turn it around.
And they're third in the division in goals. Like I think they'll turn it around, but like you can't outplay bad goaltending.
No.
You almost can't. The rare exception is literally the Leafs last year. That's the only time I've almost ever seen a team, you know, like outplay bad goaltending, like atrocious goaltending. Other than that, like it very rarely happens. So, yeah, that's awkward for me because I really did think the Wild could do it. But right. Now my new hot take is Dallas. Dallas Presidents Trophy winner. No, I'm kidding. But yeah. I did think, I like, if you think... look at Minnesota objectively, like, their team top to bottom, ignore goaltending, that team should be a Presidents Trophy contender.
Well, with the amount of points they're getting, if they were getting average goaltending, they would be...
They would be, yeah.
Their record would be flipped. They would be 4-1-1.
And to be honest, the Wild have had this issue a lot. Like, the Devan Dubnyk years, like, Devan Dubnyk had, like, one or two good years in Minnesota and then, like, three or four really bad ones. And they still somehow just made the playoffs because they were excellent defensively. Now they're not as excellent defensively and in front of bad goaltending, and this is what you get.
Why aren't they as good defensively? They have pretty much the same.
They don't have Boudreau anymore. I think Boudreau is a big part of that. Okay. You know, he's
but
very
your
he's
boys
always been
are
one
there.
Of the best defensive
your
players.
Boys, Brodin.
Spurgeon's a year older.
Brodin and
Spurgeon's a year older. I think they're in they're 29-30, both of them now.
Isn't Spurgeon into his 30s?
They might be.
Yeah, and I mean, Spurgeon gets injured a lot.
And he gets
well, he's
yeah,
also
and
tiny.
A lot of injuries.
He's yeah. a tiny defenseman. That's probably why he gets hurt so much.
Yeah, he's 32. Brodin's 29. Matt Dumba's 28. This isn't a in their prime defense core anymore. You know, it's
yeah.
a couple guys. Matt Dumba hasn't been great in a couple years, to be honest. Like, Matt Dumba 3 years ago, like, everyone talking about this guy being the next number one defenseman, and he just barely been an average second-pairing guy for a couple years now. So
the unfortunate thing, Rossi isn't looking great out of their forward
I mean,
group.
What do you mean he's not looking great? They play him, like, 4 minutes a night. What is he supposed to do?
I mean...
Look at his minutes per game. It's fucking ridiculous. They play him, like, 4 minutes, 7 minutes, 9 minutes. Like, it's stupid.
The last game,
like, obviously
played,
he's not
last game they played him 13 minutes.
Okay, there you go. 13 minutes. Is that more than, like, any other game? Because
yeah,
I remember, like,
the
first 4 or 5 games, he didn't play more than, like, 8-9 minutes. Like, if
well,
you
he
have...
had one game at 4:30, but then he was
there you go.
Hurt the next game, so he probably left that game hurt.
Nah.
So you're wrong. Okay. And then they okay. get his my first bad, game bad. Of the season. But he isn't playing very much. Like, it's not yeah. a huge average. His average yeah. minutes is
I mean, 12. I'm not worried about Marco Rossi. You know, he'll Matthew Boldy's been sick.
So
that's
good,
good for them.
That's good.
Very good for them. Yeah. I don't have any qualms about picking Minnesota. If they're goaltending rebounds, they can do fine. They might
not
be
rebounds,
able to be
just plays average.
Yeah, I mean
doesn't
Minnesota
play,
in the
like,
second
trash.
Exactly. But Minnesota in the second half of last season was on a President's Trophy winning pace.
Because they had basically. Amazing goaltending. Both
had,
guys.
I don't think amazing. I think
mind.
They had
no,
good
they
goaltending.
Were. No.
Yeah?
I'm pretty sure Talbot and Fleury both went on heaters. And they were
maybe.
Just playing them back to back.
I mean, it was that, but also all their guys were having career
yes.
years.
They also made a big mistake too. By just dumping Kakinen for nothing.
Yeah, I don't. Oh, that's because they couldn't fit him in, right?
When they traded for Fleury, they had Talbot and Kakinen,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And Kakinen looked like a guy who could potentially start over Talbot a lot of last year.
Is Kakinen doing anything?
He's on San Jose. Right? Yeah, but he's. I mean, San Jose's not doing much, but I think he's a good like. Their backup is Gustafsson, who I don't think is.
Yeah, I mean, the Sharks aren't exactly doing much better than the Wild right now. So,
but I think Kakinen's a better goalie, like, option. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that's enough for today.
Then
Luke
Gustafsson,
looks like,
for sure.
Luke,
Luke's ready to go. He's
Luke's
done
ready
with
to
us.
Go. He checked out a long time ago.
He checked
ago.
Out, like, 2 minutes
landlord,
in.
My landlord was here, so he was knocking on my door and stuff, so.
Why was he knocking? What did you do?
Luke, long story, but our washer and dryer have been broken basically since we got here, and... the delivery companies are useless, so we have to get our 72-year-old landlord to come, like, basically hook everything up so that they cut. Because they're like, oh, yeah, we don't do the pump. We don't touch the water. We don't touch the filter. We don't do any of that stuff. We just put the
so
machine
in
and
the
then
house.
Hook everything. Yeah. They're like, we can't get on ladders. We can't do anything. They're like, the only thing they do is bring in the new machine, connect everything that's already connected, and then leave. That's it. So, yeah.
You should call Renee. I'll do it.
Renee is in Morocco.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, I've seen all the Insta stories.
When are we going to connect the washer and dryer?
Of course, Martin does.
Get you a man like Martin.
Because do you know Martin's a homeowner?
No, we haven't heard that one
for
in a while.
For the podcast listeners,
I bought Martin a new washer for the house and connected myself. So
yeah, Martin's a good landlord, better landlord than Luke's.
My landlord is great.
One good trait Martin has is that he's handy. That's actually a good point. That's the one thing I can give Martin credit for in his entire life. There's only one thing. It's that he's handy.
False.
Anyways, thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks for listening to our story.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K, and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.